Our Heavenly Father, as we come together on this, the second Sunday of Christmas, help us as we observe the passing of the old year and the coming of the new to remember the gracious love that you have bestowed upon us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, help it to affect how we live in the new year that you have granted us, a year of grace that comes from you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Well, let me get down so you can see by my head here, because we're going to use the screens this morning. This is the year of our Lord, 2022. As I said before, the second Sunday after Christmas only comes every few years where we actually observe it. The gospel lesson is one that we don't hear every year, and that is Jesus in the temple when he was 12 years old. Last Sunday you talked about the presentation of Jesus in the temple and the purification of Mary and Joseph with the offering of two turtle doves or two pigeons there. But we just observed Christmas. Now, keep in mind there are, in the Christian church, historical biblical Christians celebrate fully 12 days of Christmas. You remember that song about the 12 days of Christmas? I think it's $41,208.85 they figured this year would be the cost of celebrating 12 days of Christmas if you could afford it. Now, remember there, the different things, turtle doves, partridge in a pear tree, French hens, calling cards, golden rings, all the different things there on the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. But Christmas runs from Christmas Day, and then on the eve of the Epiphany, they had a great celebration. Just like on Christmas Eve, they would have a great celebration and a feast to celebrate the coming of the Christ child. On the eve of Epiphany, they would also have a great day and celebration there. And then on Epiphany, they would all gather together. In some segments of Christendom, they actually, on January 6th, celebrate the birth of Christ. And nobody knows exactly when he was born. We just have reached a consensus there that for most of the world, we do it on the 25th of December. Now, but this has been an exciting week in the historical biblical Christian churches throughout the world. We had Christmas Eve and Christmas Day when we celebrated the coming of the Christ child. Then the next 3 days that take place there, on the 26th, the day after Christmas, was the church's celebration of Saint Stephen the Martyr. Remember, the disciples were so busy that they didn't have time to take care of the widows and orphans, so what did they do? They appointed deacons. We still have deacons in historical biblical Christian churches today. And one of the deacons was Stephen. Stephen's job was to feed the widows and orphans and care for them and help the disciples in proclaiming the gospel. Well, remember Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul? He persecuted the Christians. They came and they stoned Stephen when Stephen refused to renounce that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. He was the first adult Christian martyr that we had there. Then remember how Saul goes off to Jerusalem and he's going to persecute and kill more Christians, but on the road there, Jesus appears to him and he is converted. Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And then Saul becomes Paul, and he follows Jesus, becomes the great apostle to the Gentiles. The others kind of focused upon the Jewish people that they were announcing Jesus to as King of the Jews, but he was also the Savior of all people, Gentiles included. So on the 26th, we remembered St. Stephen. Then on the 27th, St. John the Apostle, writer of the Gospel. You know, that's my favorite gospel. John always says he takes the miracles and so forth, and he calls them signs. And he says, Jesus did this miracle, and this was a sign. And he explains the purpose of the sign, so that you might believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's my favorite gospel. At the end of it, he says, all these things that Jesus did, he did many, many more things. More than could be written in all the books of the world. But these things he did, why? So that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, and that believing you may have life in his name. If you're going to read the Bible this year, and this would be a good day to start with the Gospel of John. He talks about how in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, God in the flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity. He leaves the heavens by the power of the Holy Spirit, is created in the womb of the Virgin Mary with a human body, and takes upon himself humanity. A wonderful gospel to read. You have a friend who says to you, I don't understand the Bible. Where should I start? What should I read? Tell him to start with the Gospel of John. That's a good place to start because it's so clear and explains so much. And then on the 28th, we celebrated Holy Innocence Day. Remember King Herod? King Herod was kind of a nasty, paranoid man. He was king. He bought his kingship from the Romans. Wasn't even really a Jew, but he was called King of the Jews, and he was very jealous of that, and he was really worried that somebody was going to steal his kingship from him. He was so worried, so paranoid about it, that he killed his sons, that he killed one or two of his wives. He even killed a high priest because he was afraid they were going to overthrow him. So much so that Josephus, the Jewish historian, said it would be better to be King Herod's pig than it would be to be one of his relatives, because if you were his pig, you would live longer. That's how paranoid he was. Well, remember when the wise men come and they say to Herod in Jerusalem, where is he who is born King of the Jews? That's, you know, the epiphany that you're going to talk about. Herod doesn't know. He calls together all the wise men of his village, the teachers of the law, the historians, the experts, and they say, where is he who's going to be born King of the Jews? And they say, he is in Bethlehem. And, of course, Herod calls the wise men and says, hey, when you follow the star and you find him, then come and report to me. I want to come and worship him, too. Not so much. You know what happens there. The wise men are told by God in the dream to go back a different way. Don't inform Herod. They leave and go another way. Herod becomes so paranoid that he sends his troops into Bethlehem, and they kill all the male children under the age of 2 that are there. Now, Bethlehem wasn't a big town. It was probably 200 to 400 people. So it was probably only 4 to 8 young males that were killed. Not a massive kind of thing, but any one life would have been very tragic. We call it Holy Innocents. They are the first martyrs of the Christ child there. And of course, you know what happens is that Joseph is told to leave town, to get out of there. And Jesus is spared because of that. But what a wonderful time it is. These wonderful days of this past week, and then we approach Epiphany on the 6th there. This morning we want to talk about the Old Testament lesson. 2022, the coming of the new year. Somebody said it can't be much worse than 2021 or 2020. That's probably true. It can't be much worse. But we want to understand that all time, including this coming year, belongs to God. Think about it for a moment. The letters B.C. and A.D., before Christ, B.C., Anno Domini, it's a Latin word, in the year of our Lord. Every year that God gives us is a year of our Lord. This coming year that we're in right now, 2022, is the year of our Lord. We're going to talk about the Old Testament lesson. Solomon gives us in the Old Testament lesson a summary of the meaning of life. Now, think about it for a moment. King Solomon, he lived from 990 B.C. to 931 B.C., probably wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in about 934 B.C. Most of us remember Solomon. God said, "What can I give you, Solomon? I'm pleased with you." And instead of asking for great riches, long life, and so forth, he says, "Give me what? Wisdom." Most of us remember him when the two women brought the baby that they both claimed was theirs, and they said, "You decide, Almighty King, which mother is really the mother here." And Solomon, in all his wisdom, thinks for a moment. He says, "What? Cut the baby in half." And the real mother says, "No, no, don't do that. I do not want my child to die. Better that the child would live with this imposter." And Solomon then recognizes who the real mother is. He was filled with great wisdom. His king was great. He built a mighty temple there. He was the second son of David and Bathsheba. Remember, the first son died. And he had this great wisdom, and he fulfilled the wonderful promises that God had given to his father David. He built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem. His mighty armies and so forth, they kind of ruled that known part of the world. The Jews reveled in his kingship. There was only one problem. Solomon ended up with 300 wives and concubines. Now, the problem was really that a great many of them worshiped false gods and idols. And Solomon kind of let it creep in. Jews were monotheists. They only believed in Yahweh, the one God. And as a result, his kingdom began to fall apart. Solomon writes this letter to Ecclesiastes, or the book of Ecclesiastes, toward the end of his life there, as he has achieved all kinds of glory. Everything that he wanted. Great wealth, mighty power, wonderful family, great, great blessings of God. And yet, it's now all coming apart. And Solomon says in the first part of the word, all of life is nothing but a mess. It's meaningless. He's had it all. He looks back and he says, nothing really is what we expected it would be. And he goes on and he writes this. Now, Solomon had great wisdom. I woke up in the morning of December 31st, 2021, and I discerned as I faced that day, with great wisdom, I have enough money to not work for the rest of the year. But then, yesterday I decided maybe I needed to get back at it again. Now, Solomon tells us that God sets a time for everything. It's a good thing to remember as we let go of 2021, and it's a good thing to let go of, to learn what you can learn from it, but then to go on with great confidence and faith as we go into 2022. Now, many of us make New Year's resolutions. Time kind of slips away. We feel like life is out of control. This lady's resolutions are that she resolves to get older, she resolves to gain weight, she resolves to do stuff, to drink coffee, and try not to die. These are all achievable New Year's resolutions. People who make resolutions to kind of gain control over time and life. You know, as we pass from one year to another, we kind of feel like life is out of control, so what do? We make resolutions. I read in the San Diego Union this week that most resolutions that we have the difficulty in keeping are dieting, exercising, and simply trying not to do stupid things. We can't keep them. 88% of our resolutions, they said, fail. Now, the good news is, though, that if you do make resolutions, and there's nothing wrong with that, it kind of helps you set some goals. The good news is even though that 88% of people who make resolutions don't keep them, if you live in the city or the region of San Diego, they have absolutely the highest success rate of keeping your resolutions. The second is Scottsdale, Arizona, and the third is Orange County. Now, I don't know what that says. The worst record of keeping New Year's resolutions is if you live in Gulfport, Mississippi, and I don't know what that is. The second was Newark, New Jersey, and the third worst record for keeping resolutions was Detroit, Michigan. If you look at their football team, you'll understand a whole lot about that there. Nothing wrong with making resolutions. They kind of give us a feeling that we have some control over our time. But Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, maybe not so much. He says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. Solomon was totally disillusioned with all of his success, all the blessings that he had. As he approached death, the kingdom was going to be divided into two parts. And shortly after his death, that everything was vanity. Nothing was worthwhile. But then it came to him that life consisted of all kinds of different things, but whatever was in God's hands would be enduring forever. And nothing could be added to it. Nothing could be taken away. That's a good thing to remember in 2022. I don't know how many of you saw last week the San Diego Union. The wonderful, wonderful picture, that Hobby Lobby, full-page color picture, and this is it here. It said, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. They talked about the fact, you see the baby Jesus there. Joseph was a carpenter. Jesus kind of learned his craft and trade in his father's workshop and following through with him. One of the interesting things, and I don't get paid by Hobby Lobby. I think Ian, doesn't he work for Hobby Lobby? Yeah, but I had never paid much attention to it until that ad came out. My wife said, oh yeah, you should look at all the wonderful things each holiday that they put in about Christ so that they bear witness to Christ. This one, that life goes on after Christmas, Jesus grew and he became strong and he grew in wisdom and so forth. We read in today's gospel lesson the same thing. Time went on even for Jesus. He's 12 years old. He's in the temple there and his parents don't understand when he's not with them in the caravan. They have to go back and find him. He's missing for a day in the caravan. They can't find him for 3 days. They finally find him in the temple. And then he says this mysterious thing as they say, why do you treat us like this? He says, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? He grew in stature and wisdom as he was about to give himself into death and resurrection for our sins. Now, we read in Psalm 90 today, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Interesting thing. I don't know if you remember Alfred Nobel, the Nobel Peace Prize he started. But many people don't know the story here. Alfred Nobel, the top part is his obituary that mistakenly appeared in the paper. It was supposed to be about his brother, but the guy who wrote the obituary wasn't careful, and he put Alfred Nobel's obituary in the paper. And Alfred Nobel read the newspaper, and he read his obituary, and it said, Alfred Nobel, the inventor of dynamite, who died yesterday, devised a way for more people to be killed in war than ever before, and he died a very rich man. Now, Alfred Nobel said to himself, that's a terrible thing. But you know what? It's true. It's true. So what did he do? He took his wealth and he started the Nobel Peace Prize. In many, many categories of life, he awards grants and prestige for everyone who wins the Nobel Peace Prizes in many different categories throughout the world. After he did that, he said, every man ought to have a chance to correct his epitaph in midstream and write a new one. Think about it. You and I, we don't know what 2022 holds. Solomon says what? There's a time to be born, time to die. Time for war, time for peace. He goes on and talks about every possible situation that you and I could face, and he says what? We have no absolute control over them. But ultimately, we can only take the gifts and the things that God gives us and allows to come into our life, and we can understand that God allows them and we can make the best of them. We can be at peace. He says, in essence, the one that is paraphrased in Ecclesiastes, we should eat, drink, and be merry. Why? Because God gives us each day of our lives that we are to enjoy. We are to make the most of them. Nobel learned that he mysteriously got a second chance in life to make something different of his life. Most of us aren't going to get to do that. I wrote my mother's obituary. She wanted me to do it, and I sent it to her, and she died a couple days before she was 101. And I sent it to her, and she goes, "Well, that's not me." I go, "What do you mean it's not me? That's pretty much what you told me to write." She goes, "Oh, no, that makes me look like I'm very grandiose. And that's not good." She started crossing out things, and she sent it back to me. And I go, "Mother, I don't think that's you either." Most of us don't get a chance to write our obituary. My wife said, "Why don't you sit down and write yours?" I said, "There's not enough paper in the whole world for me to put it on." She said, "Forget it." But think about it. If we had a chance to see what people would say of us. I like the story of the three men who were gathered at a friend's funeral, and they were at the funeral home at the wake, and they were looking at their friend who was dead lying in the coffin. And one of them said to the other two, he said, "If somebody were standing here looking at you in the coffin, what would you want them to say about you?" One who was a doctor said, "Oh, I want them to say he was a great physician. He was loving," and so forth, and he saved many people with his life. The second one said, "I'm a great family man. I would want them to say, as they looked at me in the casket, 'Oh, he was a wonderful father. He was a great grandfather. What a wonderful thing.'" They looked at the third one. The third one says, "Well, if I had my way and I were laying there in the casket and people were looking at me, I would want them to say, 'Oh, look, he's moving.'" The only problem is we can't do that. That's not going to happen. But through Christ, we ultimately never cease to exist there. Okay. In Ephesians, God tells us about time. "Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." That's kind of what Solomon is saying in Ecclesiastes. Remember, you are going to move. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." That's what Christ does. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us grace so that when we breathe our last breath, his angels come and they escort our soul, our life, our consciousness into heaven. That gives meaning and purpose to life so that as Solomon looked forward to the coming of the promised Messiah, we understand in Christ at Christmas he came and he is our Savior, the resurrection and the life. Now, if you were facing the end of your life like Solomon, what would you do differently? They interviewed a bunch of people who were in their late 80s and 90s, and they asked them, "If you were to live your life over, what would you do differently?" The consensus was, they said they would risk more. Now, that doesn't mean they go jump out of an airplane without a parachute or something like that. It simply means that in life, they would take advantage of the opportunities in relationships, the opportunities that God granted them. They'd use it each every day, and they would recognize that it comes from God. Number two, they would reflect more. That simply means that they would appreciate, like Solomon did, the fact that everything was in God's hands and that it had a purpose, and they would grow and that they would learn from that. And the third thing was they would leave a legacy behind them that will last. And that's what all of us want to do. God has you here in the year 2022 for what? A purpose. Every person that you come into contact with, every relationship you have, every day that God gives you, He has given you to accomplish something with your life, and He wants you to use it, just like Solomon realized that he had no control over what happened, but he could learn and grow, and he could recognize God's will in his life. Okay. This lady says, there will be, time is so valuable, there will be 6 designated yawning breaks during my presentation. Please pace your boredom accordingly. Now, that'd probably be a good thing for all pastors to learn, too. But think about it. Time is very valuable. At the end of the year, I wonder how many of you will join me in saying, despite all my problems, my aches and pains, and things happening outside my control, God has been so good to me. And He really has. Even in the bad times, God is with you. He doesn't leave you alone. Solomon teaches us that as this year passed in 2021, we come to a new one, there is a time and a season for everything under heaven. There's a purpose for everything that's there. I like this photograph or painting. As we go from 2021 to 2022, we really don't know what's going to happen. We know, though, that as we go into the unknown, like Solomon, God is with us, and we don't have to be afraid. We know even if 2022 would be our last year here upon this earth, that He is the resurrection and the life, and that we have the gift of eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what the 12 days of Christmas are all about. So I wish you a happy new year this year. This is the year of our Lord, 2022. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, help us, like King Solomon, to remember that all things are in Your hands. They won't go the way we think they should go all the time, but we do know that there is a time allotted for each of our lives, and a time for all things that are meaningful to take place. And You control them. We recognize that You are our God, that You are our Savior. And we live this year as the year of our Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.